Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the love of the Lord Jesus shown to us, sinners that we are, that we could be saved, be given the assurance of your word that we have eternal life. How we thank you, Lord, for such a gift that was given to man in the person of your Son. And we pray that what we say today would honor him and that our thoughts would be about him. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Emmanuel, God with us. Quite a thing. Leading up to this holiday season, we're talking about Mary and Joseph and this Sunday, Jesus. In the New Testament, Mary's name is mentioned 19 times. Joseph's name is mentioned 14 times. Jesus' name is mentioned 1,043 times. It's not about Mary, and it's not about Joseph. It's about Jesus. Our destiny hinges on what we do, what we believe about Jesus Christ. It's not about where we go to church. It's not about our religious affiliation. It's about what we do with the Son of God, who came here to be a sacrifice for our sins. Turn with me to the book of Philippians chapter 2. You remember Paul Harvey? I used to like to listen to Paul Harvey. That's one of the things in my trucking days. I used to like to tune in when Paul Harvey was on because he always had a good story. So anyway, Paul Harvey was telling the story about this mother that came into a grocery store. And as she was coming into the grocery store, she had a 3-year-old and she put him in the cart. And she pointed her finger at him and she said, "Don't you dare ask for chocolate chip cookies. Do you understand?" So he shook his head. He understood. So she goes in and she's coming down the aisle and there are the chocolate chip cookies. And they were just beckoning him. "Mom, can I have some?" "I told you, don't you ask for chocolate chip cookies." So they came around and happened to come back same aisle. And it just was too much again. And she said, "I told you, no chocolate chip cookies." So she finishes shopping and she's coming down that last long aisle before the cash register. The 3-year-old stands up in the grocery cart and he prays, "In the name of Jesus, may I have some chocolate chip cookies?" By the time she got to the checkout, there were 2 or 3 packages of chocolate chip cookies. They're already paid for. So Paul Harvey was telling that story. Kid must have heard that somewhere, picked up on that. Now, do you think that increased his faith? The name of Jesus. So, I mean, really, come on. Where do you hear the name of Jesus? You hear the name of Jesus a lot. Not in church, outside of church. It's a swear word. As a matter of fact, it's so profuse. The use of Jesus as a swear word so permeates the speech of some that when children hear it spoken, even in the church context, they assume it is being used as a swear word there too. That's a swear word. But Jesus Christ is a name. Acts 4:12 says, "There's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." And that name is taken and used as a curse word. Philippians chapter 2, are you there? Beginning at verse 5. "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and taking the form of a servant, and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." The day is coming when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. For those who have died and gone to heaven, and for those who have died and gone to hell, for those who are angels that stood with God, and those who are angels who oppose God. The day is coming when every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God. But to those who have rejected him, it's too late. But they will confess it. Everyone will confess it. Wouldn't it be best to get to know him now? Wouldn't it be best that when you say Jesus Christ, it's not a swear word, but it's a person? It's a person you've come to know and believe in and depend on for eternal life? Wouldn't that be best? Wouldn't that be the thing to do? Just a name. It's an amazing thing what a name will do. Just try this. I told you I never talk about politics, but just try this. Go into a public setting, like McDonald's when it's packed. Jump up on a stool and say, Adam Schiff! Long live Adam Schiff. Just see what that does. You know, if you got nothing else to do. Long live Nancy Pelosi. Long live Donald Trump. I mean, whatever. Whatever comes to your mind, just say that. Just to see what happens. Try to video it, because I'd like to see it afterwards. I like that kind of thing. They're not that important. None of them are that important. They really aren't. But I want to tell you something. Jesus Christ is important. With Jesus Christ, the day is going to come when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. John chapter 20, verse 31 says this, But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. There's no other name to give you eternal life. The only name that can give you eternal life is the name of Jesus Christ. That's the only name. You know something? It's all about who you know. It really is. But there's only one person to get to know. There's only one person that's threaded throughout the Old Testament into the New Testament. There's only one person that the Bible says in the volume of the book it is written about him. And that one person is Jesus Christ. What about that name? What about him? Life comes through that name. Abraham is the father of all who believe, but life doesn't come through Abraham's name. Mary was a tremendous person, but life doesn't come through her name. Joseph was a tremendous person, but life doesn't come through his name. There's only one person that the Bible declares that life comes through his name, and that's Jesus Christ. What about Jesus Christ? What about him? The church was just established and was just getting going, and they were having some struggles for sure. The church has been kicked out of the synagogues, just a group of believers here and there. Sometimes they met by a river. They probably met most often in a home. Christianity wasn't accepted by the world because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ wasn't accepted by the world. It says he came unto his own received him not. But it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe on his name. Acts chapter 3, verse 6. Then Peter said, Silver and gold I do not have. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. It was a beggar. He was begging for silver and gold. Peter said, I don't have any silver and gold. There'd be very few churches today that would say, I don't have silver and gold. But in that day, there was no silver and gold. Their assets were not in silver and gold. Their assets were in a name. And that name was Jesus Christ. What would happen today if people realized what we have in Jesus Christ? What kind of transforming power would that reveal to us, even us who profess to be Christians, if we knew there was power in that name? Is it a name that's important? Fourth chapter of Acts in verse 10, Let it be known to you all and to all the people of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him, this man stands here before you whole. It's about knowledge. It's about the knowledge of Jesus Christ. I don't know. Church service, good feeling maybe. You went to church, I don't know. But if it's not about Jesus Christ, it was a waste of time. You'd be better off going having a few drinks somewhere, really. I mean, no mileage in going to church if you don't know the one who died for the church. The mileage comes in what we do with the name of Jesus Christ. That name. He told them in that verse I just recited, whom you crucified. Big debate over the centuries. Who crucified Jesus? Did the Jews crucify Jesus? Did the Romans crucify Jesus? Well, they both had a hand in it. But who crucified Jesus? It's the same in every generation. You did. You did. I did. Because Jesus Christ was crucified for our sins. We're responsible. And he said in that verse, be it known to you. Do we know that? You ever hurt somebody and feel bad about it? A friend of mine was telling this story growing up in a community in Nova Scotia. And this buddy of mine was a bully. And he used to beat on this kid. So anyway, the years went by and this buddy of mine came to know the Lord. Went off to Bible school. So one day he was going back to his hometown. So he goes back to his hometown. He needed something at a particular store. And this guy was the guy behind the counter. They exchanged a few pleasantries, like, hey, how's it going? So on and so forth. And the guy starts to tell him a story about growing up and about a bully in the neighborhood who used to beat up on him. My friend didn't say anything to the clerk. After all, my friend was the bully. When he's telling me the story, I can see his regret, his self-disgust for what he did. Because of what he did when they were kids. You ever hurt somebody? You can hurt somebody physically, but you can hurt somebody emotionally by things that you say. You ever do that? And then feel bad about it afterwards. You see, that's what we're reading about here by the name of Jesus, because, hey, we hurt him. We didn't just hurt him a little. We were involved in his crucifixion. What about that name? In that same chapter it says, so they called them and command them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. Command those disciples in that early church not to mention Jesus. Not to teach about Jesus. When academics get into theology, they might encourage those giving the message of the cross to make it palatable so as not to lose or offend anyone. To keep people in, make them feel good about themselves. That was encouraged as early as 2,000 years ago and continues today. It does not change the fact that we are sinners. We need to acknowledge the truthfulness of Romans 3:23, where we are told that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and that having fallen short, we need a Savior, a Redeemer, one who sacrificed for sin would be acceptable to a holy God. Christ came to save you. You can't clean up your act, turn over a new leaf, and think you please God. You don't. If we could do that, God would never have to have come to this earth and have gone through that torture of the crucifixion. Book of Acts, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles, and he declared to them how he had seen the Lord on the road and how he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus. He was talking about Paul. You got this guy Paul, and man, this guy was a persecutor, and this guy was stand there as Christians were being killed. He was brutal, but on the road to Damascus, something happened, and he heard that voice from heaven. Paul, I am Jesus, whom you persecute. Man was transformed. All of a sudden, this man who was a blasphemer is preaching the gospel. How he preached boldly at Damascus, the name of Jesus. That verse has three things. One is the communication, because it was communicated to Paul, Saul then, it was communicated to Saul exactly who Jesus was. It's clear. You know, when it becomes clear. I was in high school and I thought I was an atheist. That's what I thought. I guess there really aren't any atheists, but I thought that. And I remember being in the library and I'd look up at the shelf and there was a Bible on the shelf in the library. And I thought, you know, I should read that. Make fun of Christians. You know what I mean? People that believe that kind of stuff. Mythology, fairy tales. I should do that, but of course, I had too much other important things to do than to read the Bible for that reason. What I didn't know was that that book communicated truth. That book was here a long time before I came on the scene. It'll be here a long time after I'm gone, because that book is the Word of God. Nobody can destroy that book. And then in that verse is a transformation, because the man was transformed. Now, I'll tell you something. When people come to know Christ, they're transformed. All things have passed away. All things have become new. You can't come to Christ and be the same. It's not possible. It's impossible. And then there's a proclamation there, because this man preached that. That's what he preached. I was trucking to St. Palmfield, and it was snowing like today. I had some gospel tracts in French, and we had a crane operator there, and I think he used to come to work drunk sometimes. And he looked like he'd been beat on. You know, he's just that kind of individual. Well, we couldn't talk because we couldn't speak the same language. So one day I came there and he was unloading my truck. When he got done, I handed him one of these gospel tracts and I left. I remember one time I was looking in the scale shack and these guys had the tract that I had given the guy scaler, and they were laughing, and I knew they were laughing at the fact that I had given them that. Kind of made me mad. I'd like to kick the door in and go in there. But anyway, I wasn't quite as spiritual in those days as I am today. So anyway, this crane operator, so I gave him that tract. And some other time during that day, later on that evening, I came back around and another load, and he unloaded my truck. He came to the truck, and he took his sunglasses off, and he gave me sunglasses. What do you want me to wipe them? Or, you know, I couldn't figure out what he wanted to do. You know what he wanted to do? He wanted to say thanks. You know what the tract was about? All sin that comes short of the glory of God. The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I'm thinking, I'm sure he's got a terrible home life and he's messed up his life and he can't get away from the booze, and here at this company he's probably on the verge of being fired and wondering what it's all about. And maybe for once in his whole life, I'm just thinking this, hey, this is it. This is the thing I'm missing. This is what I lack. I need to know God. And God came here and became a man that I could know him. There was a man that could take God's hand and take my hand and bring us together. Maybe something like that. There was a letter sent to the churches, Acts 15:26, and it just says this, talking about Barnabas and Paul. It says, men who have risked their lives for the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. The church gets a letter because somebody's coming there and they want to make sure that you're willing to take them in and listen to them. This is the letter. It says, these men have risked their lives for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. These men could have died because they were preaching Jesus Christ. These men have a record of being faithful to the name of Jesus Christ. Take them in. They're good. A couple of good guys, Barnabas and Saul. And you read that and you think to yourself, what have I done for the name of Jesus Christ? What have I done for the name of Jesus Christ? When it's all over, bunch of stuff we did, kill time, meaningless stuff. The valuable stuff, the most valuable stuff, is what we've done with the name of Jesus Christ. A long time ago, there was a movement, Amway. I hope nobody here is selling Amway, because I got in trouble with that in a message I had 50 years ago. I had a friend. I'm young. I'm 21, 22. And I had a friend. And the friend says, you know, Gary, we're having this get-together at our house. And we got some people coming over. And I want you, Paul, to come. It's going to be good. I thought, really? Well, it was a friend of mine. 7 o'clock Friday evening or Saturday evening. And it's going to be good. I said, well, what's it about? I can't tell you. It's a secret. But it's going to be good. It's going to be good. So I said, Paul, we got to go. I got a friend that wants us to go this thing. And she said, what is it? I said, I don't know. It's a secret. But would you come with me? Because, you know, I don't want to go there alone. So Paul and I go to this thing. And it's Amway. So there's a lecture and there's charts and stuff. And they're talking about Amway and get rich. Reach the point where you give your boss the watch because you're so rich. You can give your boss money. Selling products that are just phenomenal. Guy told me a story. He says, get up in the night, get some acid reflux, come down. He said, I didn't turn the light on. He said, I thought the bottle was there. So opened the bottle, took a spoon out, and took a drink of that, went back to bed. It worked. So he came down next morning, looked at that bottle. It's drain cleaner. Amway drain cleaner. And this guy, he's not a guy that would lie to you. I believed he really took a tablespoon of Amway drain cleaner. You know what it told me? It told me that Amway drain cleaner doesn't clean the drain. That's what it told me. Because I believed him. And boy, I tell you, those people are passionate. There were people that stayed in that for years, selling stuff. I didn't know of anybody who got rich doing that. And Amway was going to be the best company in the world. There was just no company like Amway. It was a wonderful thing. And you know, you think of that. You invite people in there and you tell them these stories and you show them all the charts and you're going to make life so wonderful for them because they're going to have a lot of money. And you think that if you have a lot of money, you have a wonderful life. Have you read about people who have a lot of money? Do they have a wonderful life? Do they really? I mean, some do, but the majority of people who have a lot of money don't have a wonderful life. Because somebody's always trying to get their money. But when you're talking about, what have I done? You think, okay, so you sell stuff and you do make a lot of money and you can retire or whatever and you die. It's not going to keep you from dying. You're going to die. What then? Is it worth it? You look back and say, I had so much to do. I had so much to spend. I didn't have any time for God. It was about me. It wasn't about him. So, what's of any value when we're dead? It's what we've done with the name of Jesus Christ. Look, if you're a Christian, couldn't you do something with the name of Jesus Christ? I mean, you could say to your friends, if you have friends, hey, why don't you come to my house Saturday night? I got something I really want to share with you. What is it? It's a secret. But hey, you know what? We've known each other for a long time. Could you come to my house? Would you come to my house? And they come to your house, and you get them all around there, and get them some coffee, some dessert. At my house, I'd want four-layer delight, like basting the turkey kind of thing, you know what I mean? And say, you know why I asked you to come here? Because I want to tell you about Jesus Christ. It's like, people leaving, I'll get your coat, okay? But I tried. Say, well, that's embarrassing. Oh, yeah, it was embarrassing. Now, but not after you're dead. At least you try. I was very blessed in my life. I was very blessed in the way I grew up. I was very blessed with having friends. I always had friends. I never had trouble making friends. I can be in an airport and can just quickly make a friend. I didn't make friends now for the same reason I did when I wasn't a Christian. I have no ulterior motive. It's not about, I've got these friends. How am I going to use them? Today, I'm always thinking, boy, if they could only believe what I believe about Jesus Christ. So we were at a meeting, and a fellow came in. He was going to give a little talk and met somebody at the door, and he swore. He said, Jesus. So anyway, he came in. We had the meeting, coming out, and he's coming out with me. So I'm thinking about him. So we started talking. He said, I'm religious. I go to church. I said, you do? He says, yeah. He said, you know, I kind of like believe what you believe. I said, really? Yeah. I said, would you talk bad about your dad? Would you cut down your father? He said, no. I said, you wouldn't do that. He said, no, I wouldn't do that. I said, well, it's a funny thing, because I said, when you came into that meeting tonight, the first word you said to somebody when you came in was Jesus Christ. I said, I'll tell you something. It's all about Jesus Christ. And you say you know Jesus Christ. How could you do that? How could you do that to someone who died for you? Who gave himself for you. It's beyond me. When I like somebody and somebody else talks bad about them, I really have a hard time with that. And sometimes I'll say something. I know them. I know what you're saying about them is not true. But Jesus Christ, what about him? That's the big thing. Paul says, Acts 26:9, this is what the statement he makes. He says, indeed, I myself thought I must do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Paul said, in the course of my life, with my education and all the things I've been taught, and I heard about this cult that was starting in Jerusalem, and he said, I firmly believed that I had to be contrary to all of that. I had to stop all of that. That my mission in life now became stopping that business of Christianity. That's what I do. That's my job. Those early Christians, I'll tell you, it wasn't like, we try to get people to come out to church so they can hear about Jesus Christ. It wasn't like that. Those early Christians, they heard about Jesus Christ. A third of them were slaves. They went back into the workplace and they witnessed. Sometimes those early Christians, they could win their masters to the Lord. Unbelievable. Gospel was spreading because it wasn't a matter of coming out to church. It was a matter of taking the gospel once they heard it and going out into the world, wherever they were. And it was about a name. It wasn't about a movement. It was about a name. And that name was Jesus Christ. Movements don't last long. That's why there's so many different denominations. It doesn't last long. You start a church. The church is what's happening now. You get a bunch of people. They come out there. Things are going well. Then something comes up. They start fighting with each other. And they split it. Now they got the first church to what's happening now, and they got the second church to what's happening now. Because that's the way people are. It's not about a church. It's about a person. That person is Jesus Christ. That's what it's about. He said, I thought I'd do things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ. Don't believe that anymore. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 10, Paul's writing to the Corinthians, this church, his way is writing to the church. Now I plead with you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. Don't fight. Don't fight. My brother and I, We're in the car. We're going to Fort Kent. My mother's driving. We're fighting. One time my mother pulls over. She's going up in the woods to get a bush to come down and beat us with it. My mother, we're not afraid. We're just going to fight. Why do brothers fight? I don't know. Nothing else to do, I guess. Come into church, people get in a fight. Over what? Yeah, you name it. Anything. Could be anything. Could be I drive a Ford, you drive a Chevrolet. Could be a number of things. Get in a fight over stuff. He wrote to the Corinthians. He says, listen, I'm pleading with you here. He says, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you all speak the same thing and that there be no divisions among you, but that you be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. Whew. You imagine if we pulled together. You imagine if we pulled together in relation to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's Christmas time. Lights, snow, Christmas cards. I always look to see if there's any money in it. This morning, I made a quarter this morning. So the little guy told his father, he says, Dad, I'm going to give Gary a coin. Sometimes they lie at that age, you know. Came in here this morning, come up and says, Gary, I want you to have that. This quarter. That's something. I'm going to send this to my grandson. 12.5 cents, each one of them. The name of Jesus. 1 John 3, verse 23. And this is the commandment. This is the commandment that we should believe on the name of his son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. We should love one another. We should do that. As Christians. Because the name. Just the name. Name of Jesus Christ, we should love each other. The bond that keeps us together. World War II started 1941. Multitudes of young Americans going down, signing up for the draft, heading off to various parts of the world. All religions, all different ethnic backgrounds, just coming together because there was a cause. And they believed in that cause. And they were willing to die for that cause. World War II. There was one thing that just bound everybody together. And you know, when John wrote that letter, he was saying the same thing. There's only one thing that binds us together, and that's the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We come from different backgrounds, we have different philosophies, but when it comes to the name of Jesus Christ and the fact that the Son of God gave himself for our sins, that can bind us together. Yep. So he says, Satan said to him, if you're the Son of God, you tell these stones to become bread. If you're the Son of God, you can do that. Satan can't tell him what to do. You don't tell God what to do. God tells you what to do. A lot of people saying, well, if God would do this for me or God would do that for me, I'd probably give him some of my time, maybe. Yeah, really. Oh, he's going to jump right into that for sure. Yeah, he's really impressed with that. No, he's not. He's not impressed at all. He talks about the Gentiles. And there's a statement made about the Gentiles. He said, he just let them go. Just let them go. You want to worship a rock? Worship a rock. You want to worship a man? Worship a man. Just let him go. The gospel came. He said, now he commands men everywhere to repent. God's saying, hey, how's it going with the rock? How's it going with your belief system? How you doing with that? What about my son? If you had one son and he was sacrificed for something, wouldn't that really bind you to that, whatever it is, whoever it was, whatever it was for? There were people that their sons went off to war and they never came back. Wouldn't that be something to go off to war and the war was a useless war? You lost that war and your son never came back. How would you feel about politics after that? You think of this. That's as close as we can relate to what God is trying to tell us through his word about his son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We can't be flippant about that. So that's what Satan said. Well, Satan has no power. He has no authority. Jesus had the power and Jesus had the authority. You don't tell him what to do. Chief priest said this, if he is the king of Israel, let him now come down from the cross and we will believe him. The chief priest. It's the chief priest. This is not just average guy. This is the chief priest. And the chief priest says, he comes down off the cross, we'll believe him. Chief priest. How do you get there? A lot of education. Yeah. Maybe a few dollars under the table. I don't know. But you listen to the chief priest. Guy hanging on the cross. Who's hanging on the cross? So he claims to be the Son of God. Son of God, let him come down off the cross. Doesn't get it. He's a chief priest. Doesn't get it. Wait a second. He's got a book. And the book talks about sacrifice. Sacrifice after sacrifice after sacrifice. Offering after offering after offering. Blood flowing like water. He's got the book. And here's the person who is the illustration of what's taking place in the book. Here's the lamb being slain for the sins of the people. He's the chief priest. What a stupid statement the chief priest is making. He has to hang on that cross. And he has to die on that cross. And he hung and died on that cross for the chief priest, that he might believe that Jesus was the Christ, the Savior of the world. It says those who were passing by had the same thing to say. You know, people just passing by saying the same thing. Hey, if you're God, come down off of there. Keep on going. Just give it a look. Just give it a look. Make a statement. Gone. How many going through this life? Just give it a look. Just give him a little look. But anyway, people are quick to say, I read the Bible. Really, how much do you read? How much of it have you read, really? I read the whole Bible. You read the whole Bible? Wow. And what did you get out of it? Nothing. Really? Sounds like those people just passing by. I read that. Doesn't mean anything. Don't believe it. Just a look. Some people go to church. They feel bad. They go to church. Try to find something. So that guy can't preach. Can you get somebody that can preach? Can you get somebody that can preach? Boy, we got somebody that can preach. You go listen to him preach. Ah, what a waste of half hour that was. An hour or an hour and a half even. Those guys that go overtime. I don't like it either. What do you get out of it? What's it about? Just passing by. Little service. Go home and forget it. Sometimes when people get into trouble, they'll make a stab at going to church. Some start carrying a Bible like it's a good luck charm. I think it's going to be magical or something. It's not. Just passing by. Pharisees, they brought the woman taken in adultery and they threw her down there. And the Pharisees made this statement. Said, this man, if he was a prophet, would know who and what manner of woman this is who is touching him. Oh, he knows. He knew who was touching him. Problem was, he wasn't being touched that often. But he knows a sinner. He knows we're all sinners. We've all sinned. One thing we all have in common, we've all sinned, and we've all come short of the glory of God. All of us. For by grace are you saved through faith. Grace, unmerited favor, has been shown to all of us. Some of us have accepted it. Most of us have rejected it. But it's been shown. The name of Jesus Christ. I could go on forever, but I got leftovers from yesterday. I got to eat. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. What a Savior. Oh, Father, we preached him today. May your Holy Spirit take the words, these verses that we used, so many of them, and touch lives. May we be willing to repent, turn from our way, and turn your way. You said you were the way, the truth, and the life, that no man would come unto the Father but by you. We thank you for that. In Jesus' name, amen.